During the Easter season, I continue to preach a series entitled Proclaim, Declare the Works of the Lord. And today, on this Sunday, which we read the Jesus describing himself as the Good Shepherd, we know that we can declare that our God is a faithful guardian and guide for our souls. What does it mean to have an abundant life? When we consider the word abundance, we think about things just overflowing in our lives. Some people may think about material prosperity as part of an abundant life. Certainly, we should acknowledge the blessings we have received from God, including material gain. But it should be gained legitimately, and it should never replace God as first in our lives. We thank God above all things and in our use of things. And if those things get in the way, then we need to decide whether it's going to be God or that material thing. But while we thank God for the material gains we may have experienced, large or small, we need to be careful not to be persuaded by a strain of Christianity that states that one's measure of material prosperity is a measure of one's faith in God. Usually those who preach that can say that because they're getting money from the people who listen to them. Everybody did not have material wealth in Jesus' day. And in fact, he said it could become an obstacle to salvation. Because even in those days, some people thought that material wealth was a sign of favor from God. It's a favor from God if it has been legitimately gained and one acknowledges that God is the source of the blessing. But we need to be careful not to think that everybody has gotten their wealth legitimately. And so don't be jealous of others, even if it is a blessing from God, because if you're jealous of what God has done in other people's lives, you're really questioning God. And maybe sometimes we do not receive the blessings we want to receive because we don't appreciate the blessings we already have received. And so God wants to see, do we appreciate that already before we get anything else? But some people equate the abundant life with material possessions. Some connect the abundant life to the connections they have in life with others, the popularity they may have with others, the high regard they may have from others. And God may connect us with different people, and God blesses us to interact with one another, not to live in isolation from each other. But again, we need to be careful to measure the abundant life according to whether we're popular or not. People can be very fickle, even family members can be very fickle indeed. And if you're going to define the abundant life from personal popularity, you're basing it on some shaky ground. Jesus didn't talk about that when he talked about the abundant life in the gospel today. He uses something common in those days, a shepherd and his sheep. And he talks about he relates what happens in the shepherding, comparing it to how he relates to us. In those days, at night, the shepherds would lead their sheep into a sheepfold, usually in the valleys there. And they were not the only sheepfold. There were different shepherds that would come to bring their flocks to that sheepfold to be there at night. They would be within that gate to protect the sheep from wolves and other animals of prey, in addition to human beings who would want to rob the shepherds of their sheep. And so they were in that sheepfold, different flocks of different shepherds. But the shepherds but the sheep, have been trained by instinct to recognize the distinctive voice of their shepherd, so that when dawn arrived, the shepherd would come and call his sheepfold forward, and those sheep who recognized his voice would come after him, and only those sheep. And so this is the context in which Jesus is speaking. He is the shepherd of our lives. We are his sheep. And we shouldn't see that a negative connotation, sometimes to try to cut down opponents to size. Political figures will, call the supporters of their opponents sheep or sheeple. They're dumb people, following this person, etc. That sometimes they'll apply that to religious figures as well, and those who follow religious figures. Obviously, Jesus is not talking about that. Now, sheep act on instinct, just like animals act on instinct, but we who are created in the image and likeness of Almighty God act upon our intentions, and those intentions must be influenced by the love and life of God dwelling within us. And so, what are the elements of experiencing the abundant life that Jesus talks about? First of all, to listen to his voice. His voice should be primary in our lives to influence our conscience, which will in turn influence our choices and our conduct. We hear a lot in the social media age about influencers and how many followers they have and how many likes, and that gets them money according to the platform that they're on. And then businesses want them to advertise their businesses or advertise what they sell and to use what they sell to influence others to buy those things. We think about, life coaches and whatnot to help people to order their lives in a certain way. Well, the Lord says that we should listen to his voice primarily. And if we listen to other voices, they should conform to his voice. Otherwise, like sheep who listen to a strange voice, they run away. And so Jesus says that if there are voices that contradict his voice, we should not even think about listening to them, because his voice is primary. He's leading us in the right direction. Jesus says those who follow voices contrary to his own are walking the way of destruction. That's what Jesus said. They will be bereft of everything that is important if they continue to follow a strange voice. But we're called to follow the voice of the Lord. And we don't have to make this mysterious. He provides that message through his word, informed by the living apostolic tradition of the church. The Bible did not drop out of the sky. The Holy Spirit inspired the church to decide which books of the Bible, which books can be trusted to be God-inspired, which gospels that are circulating out there, which letters attributed to apostles should be seen as God-inspired. And so it's important, once again, to emphasize the reading of the Word of God so that we can be attuned to the Lord Jesus' voice, so that if we hear other voices that are in conflict with that, we do not want to give any credence to it. The enemy of our souls, for instance, would want to speak into our souls and to say, if you have messed up, you have messed up and cannot get cleaned up, and so you might as well give up. And Jesus says, not so. If we have messed up, we can be cleaned up by him and embrace a fresh start. It's important to, again, listen to the voice of the Lord and to listen to it in union with his church. That's how he has chosen to reveal himself. Otherwise, we get in trouble. What's another example? We heard it in the first reading today. St. Peter is speaking on the day of the first Christian Pentecost. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2 and 38. And some people decided early in the 20th century that they were guided by the Holy Spirit to think that, well, you should not be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, you should only be baptized in the name of Jesus. Only. But when St. Peter said to be baptized in the name of Jesus, it was according to Jesus' instructions in Matthew 28. Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm saying this is because sometimes Catholics come into conversation with some of these Christians who believe you can only be saved if you're baptized in the name of Jesus only, when that is a misinterpretation of what St. Peter said. You mean to tell me the Holy Spirit decided to absent himself from the church and only reveal in the early 20th century that's what we're supposed to do? Is that really rational there? We need to hear the voice of the Lord as he chooses to reveal himself to us through his church, and to do so in union with his church. For the Lord has promised that he will not lead us astray in matters of faith and morals. If we continue to listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus, then we will learn the values he teaches for our lives. And then we practice those values. We practice those values. And we do that even if we do not experience immediate positive results. People get frustrated and say, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm not perfect. It didn't float out of heaven. I want to try to get there, though. And I'm trying to cooperate with God. And it doesn't seem things are going right in my life. Well, yes, from your perspective, things are not going right. But in a God point of view, God says, things may not be going the way you think it should be going at the time, but as you continue to cooperate with me, God says, I am working things out for your good, and you will receive the reward of being faithful. But you have to be patient, as we heard in the second reading today. Because I'm sure certain Christians thought, we're being persecuted, we're trying to do the right thing, and we're suffering. And Peter said, you're just walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, who suffered for us, died for us, but he rose from the dead. And so trust in the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness that he has in giving us directions for life, and that following these directions will be fruitful, but developing fruit takes time. And so we don't want to put God on a timetable. I'll follow this teaching for 3 days. If it doesn't work, I'm going to listen to somebody else. Or this is just not working. It is working. Faith says I adopt God's perspective, whether I can see it initially or not. Again, faith must be an act of the will, saying that God is worthy of trust and I'm going to act upon that trust. We want to be uplifted by faith, and we want to have good feelings, but we're not going to always have good feelings as we practice our faith. St. Peter said that in the second reading today. And so we need to be careful, because I've heard this from people who would come for counsel. I don't feel anything, therefore something's wrong with my faith. Gabriel, when we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you in the sacrament of confirmation, you may not feel a breeze other than this fan that's going on to keep me cool over here. You may not feel warmth from my hands as I place it on your forehead. But you need to trust that as Jesus has given us this sacrament, the Holy Spirit truly comes to you, another anointing of the Holy Spirit to help you to give witness to your faith. And to be strong in that faith, whether you feel anything or not. God is doing something, and we trust in what God is doing. And the same thing for all of us as we seek to put his teachings into practice. We need to ask ourselves, who are we allowing to influence our minds? You can go to all these different influencers and light and people call themselves life coaches and whatnot. But are you allowing Jesus to be the primary influence in your life And I have to ask myself the same question. And when there are other voices, and if they don't line up with the Lord Jesus, Jesus says, run away from them. Because he's leading us in the right direction. You don't notice the sheep, you know, at one point, the sheep aren't getting together saying, I don't think the shepherd knows where he's going. Maybe we should form a union or something. See, we go somewhere else and whatnot. No, instinctually, they follow where the shepherd leads. And so with our intentions, because we certainly can do something different, faith says Jesus has always gone in the right direction, and I'm going to follow him where the times get difficult or times are delightful. And that's what makes for an abundant life. We have a very share in God's life and love. And the abundant life that he talks about is that gift of eternal life. We are people of eternal significance here and now. And what God wishes to do within us will always be for our good, but in his time and in his way. Easy to have faith when you can see some things, but God wants to know, can we have faith when we do not see things immediately? But we trust in God's point of view to be revealed at his time and in his way. And so again, the key to having an abundant life, listen to the voice of the Lord. Live according to his values. And he promises a lasting vitality that death cannot break or any other thing or circumstance can happen in this life that would seek to put us down. For we belong to the Lord. We are blessed by that. And we want to continue to live and behave from this perspective.